he felt like the Lord said for us to begin to preach on living and operating in the supernatural. And so that's what we've been on the last two Sundays, and I'm just going to do a quick little review and finish it up this morning on this step of it. This is just the first step. Because living in the last days, there's going to be such a division between real believers and hypocrites. And what a hypocrite is somebody that calls herself a believer, but lives and acts just like the devil. There's a lot of those in the world, and there's way more in the church than there is in the world. And we just determined we're not going to be one of those, are we? We're going to be a real believer. And we're just looking at the scriptures in the Bible that describe what a real believer is. Because, you know, a natural person is a person that just can do what everybody else can do. But a supernatural believer is one that can do that Jesus does miracles through them. And so we want to be the supernatural believers, right? We want Jesus to be able to do supernatural miracles through us, because that's what he called us to do and to be. All right, in Mark 16, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized will be saved, but he that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out devils." Now, that's the very first sign of a person who believes. Jesus said, "These signs shall follow those who believe." And the first sign is they cast out devils. And then skip on down to verse 20. We're going to go through all of them later on. It says, "And so they went forth," when Jesus received up into heaven, "they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." So if we believe what Jesus told us to do, cast out demons, speak with new tongue, take up serpents — that's demons, that's not real serpents — drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them, they'll lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. If we believe that, then as we go forth and we do that, then God, Jesus, confirms the word that we preach with the signs following, the signs of these things that believe. Now, this morning when we were praying for these people up here, Donald and I — and thank you, Brother Donald. Brother Donald has got a powerful gift of prophecy. I couldn't hardly operate the altars without him, because it was so funny, Don. We were standing there, we were praying for that young man, and I was thinking exactly what you started speaking. Just, I was sitting there thinking it just came out of your mouth, like I was. I just enjoy so much working with Brother Donald. He's so prophetic. And half of what we did was cast out demons, spirits of fear, and lying spirits, and spirits of unbelief. I don't. Where's Jerry? Where'd Jerry go? Jerry Ford. Or not Jerry Ford. What's Jerry's last name that we prayed for? Jerry Conway. Where'd he go? Where you at, Jerry? Oh, there you are. Okay. See, what you have is a spirit of unbelief that vexes you. You do not believe that you can do what the Lord's told you to do. That's a demonic spirit that vexes you. And you have the power to cast it out. You have the power. So many people don't operate in what they're called to do because they don't believe they can do it. See? And so once you — and now, last week we talked about the difference in demon possession and being vexed or oppressed by a demon. And like I said, most of you and most of us have never met a demon-possessed person. But we know lots of people who are demon-oppressed and vexed, because we are. The demon vexes our money. He vexes our families. He vexes our bodies. He vexes our souls. And so what that means is he attacks us and troubles us, causes us trouble in this life. And so we're not dealing with demon possession, because I'm pretty sure there's nobody in here that's demon possessed. A demon possessed person is somebody that you've asked the demon to come in and take your life over. Just like a person asked Jesus to come in, a demon possessed person has to invite a demon in to their spirit. See? And so I'm sure none of you have ever done that. But I'm sure everybody in here has been vexed and oppressed by the devil. Anger is a vexation. Lust, fear, depression, all those things are attacks of demons to vex us and oppress us. And so we went through the scriptures last week showing where that when Judas first started traveling with Jesus as a disciple, he was just demon oppressed and vexed. But when he sold Jesus out for money, the Bible said when he walked out of the room that night, Satan entered into his heart. He became demon possessed at that point. When you invite the demon in, he will come in. And you will become demon possessed. But I know none of you have done that. None of you are going to do that because you wouldn't be sitting here in church if you were going to do that. You're here trying to get closer to God, not trying to get a demon into you. All right, so I'm going to hit a couple of scriptures and just back up what we did, talked about last week, and then get on to the new one. Now, when Jesus was standing there talking to those people, and he said, in my name, those who believe will do these things. He said, but then before you do, you go to Jerusalem and you wait until you're endued with power from on high, which is they were filled with the Holy Ghost. The sign that they were filled with the Holy Ghost is they were able to speak in the language of God, angels and men. That is the sign that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you have to be baptized in the Holy Spirit to go to heaven? No. No, you don't. Lots of denominations that don't believe in speaking in tongues, and they're saved, and they'll go. The only thing you have to go to heaven is the blood of Jesus washing your sins away. That's all you've got to have to go to heaven. But to live here on earth and to do the miraculous signs, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Bad. And so that's the wonderful thing about being baptized in the Holy Spirit is that it gives us the power from on high. We're going to talk about those scriptures in just a minute. All right. And so when they went back and they waited, Jesus appeared to 500 people before he went back to heaven. From the time he was resurrected until the time that he went back to heaven, he appeared to 500 people. And he told them to go and wait in Jerusalem until they were gifted with the Holy Spirit. Well, you know, only 120 of them went and waited. And there was only 120 of them there when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in other tongues. I remember it was on the day of Pentecost, and all the Jews from all over the country were there. And so when they came out of that room, they were speaking in the language of everybody there, the people from all the different countries, you know. And that's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is you can supernaturally speak in another language you have never learned. And you hear this a lot from missionaries that travel in other countries. We had a good missionary friend, and he had been over in, I can't remember what country it was, but he'd been there for months. And he said that he was just so homesick to talk to somebody from America. It'd been so long since he'd heard anybody speak English. And so said he went to preach at this little church way up in these mountains. And there was just a handful of people there. And said when he prayed for them to be filled with the Holy Spirit, when they started speaking in tongues, they were speaking perfect English. Don't that give you chill bumps? And how many, I could give you many, 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 many testimonies about, I mean, even in our church, how people have spoken tongues and they were speaking in another language, another dialect, and people there that spoke that language and got saved, which is one of the signs of tongues is it's for the unbeliever. It'll make them a believer. So anyway, so once they were filled with the Holy Spirit, then they went out and they began to do the works that Jesus had told them to do. Now, a lot of churches will tell you that he was only talking to the 12 apostles when he said that. But I can show you many scriptures in the Bible that tell you that that's not true. The apostle Paul spoke in tongues. He said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. And he did his, and he wasn't even there. He wasn't even saved when Jesus gave that commandment. He was still a Pharisee that hated Christians. Once they became Christians, you know, he went out and killed them, as many of them as he could, and arrested them. And yet, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues, and all these miracles started happening to him. So see, he wasn't one of the 12 apostles that Jesus was talking to. So when people tell you stuff, you go check it out in the Word. And you make sure it's what the Word says. And you don't believe everything that's preached from the pulpit. Because you'll be a mixed up crazy person if you do. There's a lot of crazy stuff being preached from the pulpits around this world. Especially if you watch TV, preachers. So when we get to heaven, we're accountable for what we have went to the Word and believed for ourselves, and not what somebody told us to believe. If we let somebody lead us astray, it's nobody's fault but our own. Our own fault. If we let somebody preach something to us that is not true and we believe it, then we can't even blame that person. We have to blame ourselves, because we all have the same Bible. And Jesus told every one of us to live that Word, not live the life of another person. Okay, so when the evening was come, he brought unto him all that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word. I'm in Matthew 8:16. And so we're talking about how we cast out spirits. Now, remember we talked about last week, you don't cast spirits out of another person until you can first cast them out of yourself. It does not work on anybody else until it works on you. Now, the word cast out in Greek means not just cast out. It can mean cast away. It's the word balo, which means like you throw a ball away from you. That ball wasn't inside of you. You were holding on to that ball and you threw it. So casting out demons, every time you see the word casting out demons in the Bible, it's the word cast away. Now, it can be cast out, but most of the time it's used, it means get it away from you. Get that thing away from you. Get lust away from you. Get anger away from you. Get depression away from you. Cast it out of your thoughts. Cast sadness out of your thoughts. Fear out of your thoughts. Anger out of your thoughts. And so when we use the word cast out, that's what I want you to think about. You're getting the oppression of the enemy away from you. You're not casting a demon out of your spirit. Because a Christian cannot be demon possessed. I want you to understand that. A Christian, because see, demon possession means it lives in your spirit. And Jesus lives in our spirit. And if we invite the devil into our spirit, guess who's leaving? The Bible says that Satan and Jesus will not occupy, live in the same space. So if you invite the devil in, you've just lost Jesus. So a Christian cannot be demon possessed. So we're not talking about demon possession. We're talking about demon oppression and vexing and troubling. Demonic spirits causing all kind of problems in our life. Stealing and killing and destroying our abundant life that Jesus came and died for. Okay, and so when he had called to his disciples, he gave them power over unclean spirits. That's another name for them, unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. Now, what you have to understand about unclean demonic spirits is you don't have to do anything for one to attack you. The Bible says that Jesus was the most rejected man that ever lived. And the Bible says that he fought every spirit we'll fight. And said that's why he's our high priest. Because everything that we go through, he went through for us. And he won the victory, defeated the demons. So, we know Jesus never sinned. So his sin didn't open the door to his attacks at all. And so, in fact, the Bible says that the more godly you live in Christ Jesus, the more you're going to be attacked. It says in the book of Revelations that the devil went out with great anger after the ones who were keeping the word of God. So the stronger Christian you are, the more you set yourself up for attack. But it doesn't really matter, because if you're a strong Christian, you know the devil can't defeat you. Unless you let him. Okay. He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. All right, verse 4. And they were amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commands unclean spirits, and they come out. Now, we talked about this last week. Power and authority, they're two different things. The word authority is good grief. I can't even pronounce it this morning. Somebody pronounce it for me. Yes, thank you. Thank you. What would I do without you? Exousia. And it means to... that you are the lawgiver. That's where that word comes, the highest law. That's what that means. That word authority comes, our word highest law comes from that. And so then the word power is the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite. So remember, we talked about this last week. If you got a criminal standing here and a policeman standing here, a criminal can take a gun and shoot and kill somebody because he has the power. But a policeman, and then he's going to go to jail. But a policeman can take a gun and shoot somebody because he has the power and the authority. You see the difference? Satan has power to kill, steal, and destroy. But he don't have authority in our life. But if we let him, he's a lawbreaker. He's a criminal. He will break the law and come into our life and steal, kill, and destroy. And he loves to do it, Keith. And he's really good at it. And so until we stand up and take our authority, the devil's just going to laugh at us every chance he gets. He's going to steal our health, going to steal our children, going to steal our money, going to steal our happiness, going to steal our... and sit back and laugh and mock us. Because he knows we have the authority to stop him, but we're just not doing it. But we're not dumb, are we? We're smarter than the devil. We're not going to let him. We know we have the authority to stop him, and we have the power of Jesus to stop him. We got the power of the blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the word of God to stop him. That's our loaded gun. And he's a criminal. And we have the authority to kill him, to stop everything that he's doing in our life. But now whether we use that authority and power, the Lord can't make us do that because he gave us a free will. We have to make a decision. Just like he gave Jesus a free will, and Jesus decided to come here to earth and die for us. Then he gave us a free will that we can do what Jesus told us to do. Or we can just let the devil run over us all our life like a steamroller. Which he does with so many Christians. And I don't remember who you gave that word to. Donald said, rise up. Kuma Adonai. Rise up in me, Jesus. and help me be smarter than the devil and put a stop to what he's doing. Okay. Luke 6. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. What does all mean? So if you come to Jesus with faith, you're going to get everything that you come for. If you come to Jesus with doubt, he can't work. Everything comes by faith. See? Okay, so touching Jesus. Let's talk a minute about touching Jesus. You know, years and years ago, they used to sing this song, The Lord is Passing By, Reach Out and Touch Him, The Lord is Passing By. So unscriptural. A lot of those old songs we used to sing were so unscriptural. Jesus is not passing by me anymore. Jesus lives in me all the time. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word of God. And every time you look into the Word of God, you're looking into the face of Jesus. So if you need Jesus to touch you, where are you going to get that touch from? You're going to go to the Word of God, you're going to look at Jesus, and that Word is going to heal you. Because the faith comes from believing the Word of God. That's where faith comes from. There's only two places you can get faith. One is believing the Word of God. The Bible says that you can see a miracle, and if you believe it was God that did that, that will increase your faith. Oh, and there's one other place. Praying in tongues increases your faith. We always forget that's the important one. If your faith is weak, it's because you're not praying in tongues enough. Praying in tongues increases faith, builds your faith. So what you do is you go to the Word of God and you open the Word of God and you begin to read the Word and pray in tongues and you come away full of faith. So when you need a touch, see, Jesus said he felt the virtue go out of him when she touched him. So when you go to the Word of God and you are reading the Word of God and you said, Jesus, you healed this person, you healed that person, and you gave Peter the money to pay his taxes, and you did this and you did that. And then you say, if you did that for them, you will do that for me because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then faith will leap out of that word. Virtue will go out of Jesus. Virtue's power. And meet and give you a miracle. It's okay to get other people to pray for you, but that's second best. You should go to the Word and get your miracle. And then you turn around and pray for other people to join their faith. Now, there's been many times in my life I've had to have people pray for me because my faith was not where it should be. 2 or 3 years ago when I hurt my back and I couldn't get out of bed for 30 days and I was in so much pain. And my friend called me one day and she said, what are you claiming as spoil from this battle? And I had, and you know me, I preach on spoil from the battle every time I preach. I hadn't thought about anything for 30 days but pain. And I told the Lord, if I couldn't have the faith to be healed, take me home. I didn't want to get addicted to drugs and I couldn't live in this pain. And so there are times in our life we have to have people pray with us. But if every time you meet a need, you got to have somebody pray you through, you have a weak faith. And what you want to do is get your faith strong enough that you pray with other people so you join your faith with their faith. Because the Bible says if two or more agree as touching anything, it should be done of my Father which is in heaven. Joining our faith together. And I'm telling you, if so many people hadn't prayed for me during that 30 days, I'd have probably went to heaven because I couldn't bear the pain anymore. So there are times when we need people to pray for us. And that's the reason the body comes together. The Bible says strength flows out of Zion, which is the church. And when you're in a need, you come down here like those did this morning to be prayed for because there are people here that are walking in great victories and their faith is strong. There's always a group that is fighting and need prayer. And there's a group that just finished and won a battle and their faith is strong. And that's why when we come together, we need each other so much. If you've ever broken a bone, and I've broken several, because I was a mean little joker when I was a kid, you know that part of your body that's got a broken bone don't function well. And the rest of your body has to compensate for that. And so when you're under attack and you come in, the rest of the body is here to help compensate for you while that gets healed in you. See? So that's why church is just so vitally important. I'm telling you, if it hadn't been for church, I don't know what would have happened to me years ago. All right. Okay, let's get on. All right. In John 8, it said, Jesus told the hypocrites, Pharisees, he said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do, for he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. So if we're going to let lies control us, we're not going to be able to cast out spirits. We have to abide in the truth, live in the truth. The Word of God is truth, the Bible says, and the Spirit of God is truth. And so if we're going to live in truth, we're going to have the power to stop the enemy and cast away from us the spirits that are. But if we're going to live in a lie, then we're not going to have the power to do it. All right, it says, put on the Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God so that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the tricks of the enemy. He has so many tricks. And the whole armor of God, every piece of it is a part of the Word of God and what it does for us. So putting on the Word of God every single day causes us to not be deceived by the devil so that he can't vex us and torment us. 2 Corinthians says, to whom you forgive, I forgive. For your sakes, I forgive it in the person of Christ, or else Satan will get advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Unforgiveness is one of the major ways the devil vexes us, torments us, steals from us. If we're not a person that can forgive, we're not a person that's going to be able to cast demons out. If you can't forgive, that's the number one demon you got to cast out of yourself. A spirit of unforgiveness. And see, when a person has got a spirit of unforgiveness, they only see everybody else's sins. They don't see their own sins. And a person that understands forgiveness knows that I can forgive everybody because nobody was as bad as I was. And God forgave me. And so if you cannot forgive people, you can just forget casting out demons. You're not going to do it. You're not going to cast them out of yourself, and you're sure not going to cast them out of somebody else. So you go after that spirit of unforgiveness. And if you can sit here right now and think of anybody you're mad at, that means you haven't forgiven them. See, when you forgive a person, that don't mean you're going to be their buddy. I mean, we put boundaries in our life, and there are people we do not allow to come into our life and torment us. But we still forgive them for what they did to us. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, and don't give a place to the devil. So anger is a spirit that will move in and take a place into us. And if we can't cast anger out, we can't cast it out of anybody else. If we can't, man, I worked on that one for 30 years. It took me 30 years to pull down stronghold of anger in my life. I was a rageaholic. You can ask Cricket. I'd get so mad at my kids because they wouldn't clean their room that I'd leave home and I wouldn't come home till they cleaned their rooms up. I raised my children with a stronghold of anger, and now I'm paying the price for it. Because when I see them acting like I acted, I'll go to them and I'll say, please don't let it take you as long as it did me. Because until you can cast it out of yourself, you can't cast it out of anybody else. And so if you know you've got anger in you, man, you go after that spirit with the blood of Jesus and the Word of Jesus and the power of Jesus. Okay, 1 Timothy. Don't let a novice be a leader, being lifted up with pride, or he will fall into the condemnation of the devil. Pride is a wide open door in our life. And if we think that we're better than anybody else, or we're smarter than anybody else, prejudice is the spirit of pride. It's an evil demon. And anybody that is prejudiced is prideful, and they have the door wide open to the devil. And you're not going to cast demons out of other people as long as you're prejudiced. Or as long as we think we're smarter than other people. Or we're better looking than other people. Boy, I had to eat my words the other day. Gabby's boyfriend ran out of gas. The guy's 30 years old. She's not his boyfriend anymore, but. And he was way out in the country because he works for Verizon, and he goes from store to store. And he was way out in Banks in the middle of nowhere, no cell phone coverage. And so Gabby called and wanted to know if one of us could go. Chuck, we sent Chuck after him. And so I said, what kind of a grown man runs out of gas? So when we were driving home from Florida this summer, we were about 15 miles out of Jackson, Mississippi, and my car quit. Oh, my goodness. It was a late Saturday afternoon. Nothing was open. You know how long we had to sit in that 100-degree sun before we could find somebody to come bring us gas? So Anytime we think we're better than somebody else, there's a wide open door of pride in our life. And anytime we talk bad about somebody else, that is the spirit of pride, because we think we're better. Okay. Let's see, we only got 15 minutes, so I'm probably not going to get very far. Let's talk a few minutes about casting out these spirits that we have in us. One of the first ways we have to do, it says, all right, in 2 Timothy 2, it says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but he must be gentle to all men, apt to teach and patient. If you love to fuss and fight, that's a demon. Those are demons that just keep you stirred up, like a drama queen or a troublemaker. And my mama told me when I was little, she said, you've got a mean streak in you a mile wide. She said, you can walk into a room of kids having a good time, and in 5 minutes you have everybody in there mad at each other. And you know, she was telling the truth. She wasn't lying a bit. And that's a spirit you have to get rid of, loving to cause trouble and stir up fusses and fights. It's a demon. And he said they must have a good report of those that are without, or else he will fall into a reproach and the snare of the devil. No, wait a minute. That was one on pride. This one says, I lost my place. Oh, the servant of the Lord must be gentle and not strive. He said, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if peradventure God will give them repentance by the acknowledging of the truth, that they will recover themselves out of the snare of the devil and are taken captive by him at his will. So repentance is a way to cast out demons. What is repentance? It don't mean ask forgiveness. It means change your mind. Metanoia, change your mind, change how you think. You can ask God to forgive you, but not really repent because you still think you're right. You ever been in a fight with your mate and you both apologize, but you still think you were right? And nothing can make you think you weren't right? See, that's not repentance. Repentance is when you change your mind and you know you were wrong and you think like God. That's what repentance. So that is one of the ways that we cast out demons. We stop thinking like we think and we start thinking like God. And the only way to think like God is to know His Word. That's who God is. We got to think like the Word to think like God. And so the Lord said to Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith would not fail. And when you're converted, turn around, strengthen your brethren. Now a lot of people look at this and say that God was giving Satan permission to tempt Peter. But it don't say that. Peter had a door wide open. You know what it was? Pride. I'll never deny you, Jesus. I'll go to the cross and die with you, Jesus. I'll never deny you. He had a door of pride wide open. And anytime you catch yourself bragging on how good you are, you just opened up your life to pride, and a demon will just walk in the door. And he will sift you like wheat. You know what a wheat, you know how they put the wheat in a sieve and they shake it and shake it and shake it and shake it until everything comes off of it but the good part and bones in it? That's what will happen. Your life will go into everything and your life will fall apart when you're being sifted by the devil. He's just shaking everything off of you, your money, your everything. And it's because there was a door open that let him in. And so Peter's door here was pride. But the very next verse is the good one. Jesus said, but I prayed for you, Peter. And Jesus prays for us. The Bible says when he went back to heaven, he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he is ever interceding for us. Jesus is praying for us. And the Holy Spirit will show us where we've got doors open so we can shut them and cast the demons out of our life. Every single year in January, the Lord speaks to me and shows me the biggest sin in my life, and he gives me a year to work on it. And if I'm really, really diligent, see, the Bible says the Holy Spirit mortifies, kills the deeds of our flesh. And if I'm faithful and I go to the Word of God, I take the Word of God, what it says about that sin, and I pray in the Holy Ghost, then by the end of the year, I can see where that sin does not control me anymore. And it's a wonderful thing. It's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. See, correction is protection. Correction is not rejection, it's protection. And see, the Lord sees things in our lives we can't see. And so if we'll ask Him to show us where we have a door open and we're letting demons in, He will show us. And then the Holy Spirit will help us shut that door and kill that sin. And He does the work. All we have to do is just be willing and desire for Him too. Okay. James 4 says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and what? He will run. He will tuck his tail and run if we resist him. But first we got to submit to God, and that means we got to be obeying the words of Jesus. See, we don't keep the law of Moses, we keep the law of Jesus, the law of love. And so if we're studying Jesus and we're doing what he tells us to do, that's submitting to God. And then when we tell the devil to run, remember I told you last week, a demon will not submit to you if you're not submitted to your authority. Jesus said great faith is understanding authority and not being offended. And so if you're trying to tell the devil to leave you alone, but yet you're rebelling against your authority, the devil will laugh in your face. Women that rebel against their husbands, their children will not submit to them. Men who rebel against their bosses on the job, their wife is not going to submit to them. See, because you open the door to rebellion when you rebel against her. Just like I said last week, if you break the speed limit, the devil's not going to submit to you. You're breaking the law. You are not submitting to the law. Romans 13 says civil laws are here to protect us. If you don't wear your seatbelt, the devil's not going to submit to you. You're breaking the law. Now, if the law tells you to do something that's a sin, you don't have to submit to that because God is the first law. You know, in some countries, the law says you can't go to church. And they break that law all the time. And God blesses them. Because God is our first law. Okay. So, when you begin to resist the devil and you tell that devil that it has to leave, it's probably not going to leave the first time you tell it. Probably not going to leave the second time. You say, spirit of fear, I command you to leave. It's probably not going to leave, especially if it's been there a long time. And has a stronghold. Or if you tell the spirit of anger to leave, you have authority. I have authority over you, anger. I command you, leave me. Leave my thoughts. Leave my actions. Well, if it's been there a long time and it's a stronghold, it's probably not going to leave the first time you say leave. In fact, it's probably going to get worse to prove that it's in control and you're not. And people are going to make you mad that never made you mad before. But see, that's why it says resist. You continue. You continue. You continue. We talked about last week, how many times did Moses tell Pharaoh, let my people go, before he let them go? The devil don't usually run the first time you tell him. The only person that really happened with was Jesus. Huh. And we're not there. But we're getting there. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking around seeking whom he may devour, whom you resist steadfast in your faith. What is faith? Believing and doing the word of God. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, whom you resist in the faith. So when you are resisting the devil, you're speaking the word to him. Satan, you don't have the authority to make me sick. You don't have the authority to give me cancer. You do not have the authority to steal my money. I'm paying my tithes. I don't spend my money on alcohol and I don't gamble with your money. I spend my money, I give to you, and then I use the rest of it to take care of my family and to give to your kingdom. So you don't have a door open in my finances, so therefore, I have authority over you. You have to leave. And you know, the Bible says in the Old Testament, this is one of my favorite scriptures. If I'm not careful, I'll get off into preaching spoils from the battle. When the enemy flees one way, it opens seven avenues of blessing to come back to you. So when you get delivered in the area of money, it's going to open up. So he'll run in one direction and seven areas of blessing are opened up to you. So when you win in one area, it's going to open up seven areas. Open up over your family, over your job, over your, I don't know, that's a message for another day. All right, we didn't even get into binding and loosing. We might start there next time I'm here instead of starting a new one because it's time to go. The way you cast demons out of your life is binding and loosing. You know, Jesus said when a strong man comes in and this man has his house and all his goods are protected and he can protect it until a stronger than him comes along and defeats him and takes all of his spoil. Well, who is the strong man in your life? You are the devil. If the devil is stealing from you, he's stronger than you are. So what we have to do is get stronger than him. And then we go in and take back everything he stole from us. Because whoever's the strongest in your life is going to get the spoil. If the devil is stronger, he's going to take your body. He's going to take your money. He's going to take your children. He's going to take your job. But if you're stronger, the Bible says the gates of hell won't stand against him. And you will kick down the door of hell and you'll take people out of the kingdom of darkness and bring them into the kingdom of light. You, the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. You will bring the money in where Jesus said he richly gives us all things to enjoy. You will attack Satan in every area he's attacking you. Your body, your body will function and feel good and act the way God created it to, if you're the strong man. If he's stronger than you, he's going to destroy your body. He's going to destroy your finances. Now, he can't destroy your spirit. You're going to heaven. If you're washed in the blood of Jesus, you're going to heaven. But he can sure make you miserable while you're here, if he's stronger than you are. So what we have to do is we have to be the strong man. We have to put our foot down that he's not stealing any money from me. You know, back in 1970, no, it was 82, wasn't it? We were in church on a Sunday night and our house burnt to the ground. We didn't get nothing out of it. And we were sitting there in front of that house and it was just burning. I'd even left my purse in there that night because we lived just a couple of doors from the church. And everything, we lost every single thing. We sat there in front of that house and we started singing. All the kids were in the car. We're blessed, we're blessed, we're blessed. And we said, devil, sevenfold, you will give us a seven times better house. We will have seven times more money. We will be seven times more blessed because you're going to wish you hadn't messed with us. And you know, he had to do it. He had to turn loose. The house we live in now is way more than seven times what the one that burnt down. And so you just have to make the decision. I'm going to be stronger than the devil. Because Jesus gave me the authority and the power to do it. Or you can just lay down and let him run over you like a steamroller. And you can walk around, I'm so scared I'm going to die with cancer. I'm so scared I'm going to lose my job. I'm scared my kids are going to go to hell. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Faith comes from the Word of God. If you don't know what the Word tells you you can have, and you don't stand on that Word and resist the devil, then you can't have it. He'll steal it from you. But if you know what the Word of God says you can have a wonderful marriage. You can have a wonderful job. You can have wonderful children. You can have, he richly gives us all things to enjoy. You remember several years ago, I wanted to go to Florida and spend a month every summer and fish because when we would go down there on vacation, you just barely get there till it's time to come home. So I started saying about 10 years ago, God, I believe you're going to let us stay a whole month in Florida every summer. Well, my husband would not even go there. He'd say the church would never go for that. Everybody will think I'm lazy. But you know what? We go down there every year now and spend a month. And we fish every day for a month. Because he richly gives us all things to enjoy. It's just what you can believe. It's just what you can go to the Word of God and find the promises. I remember one time, Jared and I were having really bad marriage problems. Not long after we got saved. We've been saved 43 years. And he was trying to find a scripture over our marriage. And he couldn't find the one that he really wanted that really said what he wanted it to say. And so I told him, I said, you need to go read the book of Song of Solomon. And when you read the Song of Solomon, every promise you want over marriage is in there. I'm not going to quote a lot of them because this is a mixed congregation. But if you don't know what the Song of Solomon promises you over your marriage, you need to go look it up and read it. It's way better than you can imagine. I use a scripture in the book of Song of Solomon for my weight because he looks at her and he says, you look like a palm tree to me, tall and skinny. So I wear high heels because I'm short and I try to keep my weight off from that scripture. Jesus, you said I would be tall and skinny. And it says a little more there, but I'm not going to quote it. It gets a little more description, but you need to go home and look it up for yourself. So everything we want is in the Bible. All we got to take that scripture and believe it. You know what else it says? It says all your teeth are there. Man don't want to be married to a snaggletooth woman. And when I was pregnant, I lost at least 2 teeth in every pregnancy. So I got lots of fake ones, but they're all there. Because the Bible says none of my teeth will be missing. Right? Okay. If your marriage is not what you want it to do, go home, read the book of Song of Solomon. And men, you quote the scriptures that says over her and women. I love the one where he says to her, you smell so good. I love that one. And then she says to him, you smell so good. Everybody wants to be married to somebody who smells good, right? Oh, I could go on and on, but I won't. Lord, we just want to thank you for your word. It is so wonderful, and it is so awesome, and it's far greater than we will ever imagine in this life. But every single thing that we need and want is found in your word. Lord, by your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, draw us to those promises, and then help us have the faith to pull those promises out of the world of the spirit into the world of the natural. Lord, and let us be stronger than the enemy so that we can throw him out of our house and we get all the spoil. Thank you, Jesus. Give us the power and authority to cast out the demons that are tormenting our life so that we can turn around and help other people cast theirs out. Lord, we want to be believers that believe. We want to be supernatural believers so that when the world looks at us, they say, I want what they've got. And when the world needs help, they know they can come to us and we will love them and help them. Lord, make us your triumphant church. In the name of Jesus, amen.